Today, new standards for egg-laying hens hotly debated on Beacon Hill. The death penalty back in play for Tsarnaev. Mayoral aides change for Dom Sarno. National Police Weekend is coming up, and our special guest is a musician for Moso, the musicians of the Springfield Orchestra. It's all next.
Pioneer Valley Radio is proud to present another installment of Brad Shepherd today. Here's Brad Shepherd.
Welcome to Thursday, October 14th, and a very special program in store for you. Ominous reports are out there for a cold, wet winter on the way. These combine with heating costs on the rise. These tiblets are floating about. So let's enjoy this crisp fall weather while we can. In fact, today, morning fog to sun and clouds, high 72 to 76. And tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 52 to 58 degrees. Quick traffic note for Longmeadow. Construction will be starting for the improvements to portions of Pondside Road and Tina Lane from October 14 today until completion. The DPW plans on temporarily closing Pondside Road during certain phases of the work, so plan accordingly and drive safely. The Supreme Court sounded ready Wednesday to reinstate the death penalty for convicted Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. In more than 90 minutes of arguments, the court's six conservative justices seemed very likely to embrace the Biden administration's argument that a federal appeals court mistakenly threw out Tsarnaev's death sentence for his role in the bombing that killed three people near the finish line of the Boston Marathon in 2013. The first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Boston ruled last year that the trial judge improperly excluded evidence that could have shown Tsarnaev was deeply influenced by his older brother Tamerlan and was somehow less responsible for the carnage. The appeals court also faulted the judge for not sufficiently questioning jurors about their exposure to extensive news coverage of the bombing. We've duly reported the homegrown concert entitled Coming Home and being offered as a free gift to the Western Mass public by an organization called MOSO, the Musicians of the Springfield Symphony Orchestra. This concert is set for Friday night, tomorrow, of course, at Symphony Hall. Maestro Kevin Rhodes plans to return to Springfield for this event. Perhaps you'd like to meet some of the musicians behind the instruments for this special night.
Joining me now, a musician that the city of Springfield and Western Massachusetts can be very proud to call its own. He plays the tuba. His name is Steve Perry. Hey, Steve, welcome to Pioneer Valley Radio.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me on and actually having all of the musicians of the Springfield Symphony on.
Yeah, we've kept a close eye on this performance for some time now, dealing with Beth and others from your organization. And the organization, I should remind everybody, is MOSO, M-O-S-S-O, the Musicians of the Springfield Symphony Orchestra. And you folks have created pretty much your own organization and are functioning kind of autonomously in this bizarre period of time where the contract acceptable to the musicians to continue on with a season.
The organization, the Springfield Symphony Orchestra, it's been a long time. But so we took it upon ourselves in raising money, and certainly getting our maestro Kevin Rhodes back to come in. He's flying out on his nickel, and we've been doing all the administrative stuff that we never do. But so it's a learning situation, but we have a great program coming.
Well, I know the show goes on, as the axiom goes. Where is Kevin coming in from?
Well, he's in Michigan now. He's always conducted a orchestra there. Prior to that, I think a week and a half ago, he was in Europe somewhere. He travels the globe, and he's in demand. And to be quite honest, we are lucky to have him.
I'm glad you said that. I was going to get to that point as well, that the fact that Kevin is doing this of his own volition, he is such an international figure in symphonic music. It's a wonderful thing to have this happening for your concert. Now, just tell me about yourself. What is the proper term for someone who plays the tuba? Are you a tubist, a tuber? What do you call yourself? How do you identify?
Well, I think it's tubist, but I'll go by tuba player or Mr. Oompa.
You know, I like Oompa better. because, you know, we think of the tuba and we see this grandiose big instrument and we think, what's it like for you guys to carry that thing around when you do marching band stuff and that?
Yeah, well, don't do that anymore. But I got to tell you, you know, a lot of the tuba players are big guys, and mostly because when they started out, they were like fourth or fifth grade, and the teachers picked the biggest kid because he was the only one who could carry that sucker. And of course, big kids usually grow into big kids. But I started when I was in seventh grade. I was a trumpeter before then, but I got braces, and as I always tell people, playing the trumpet with braces is like kissing a pincushion. So once I got to seventh grade, I wanted to be in the band, and that tuba mouthpiece just went right around those braces. So that's how it got me into it. I was a pianist too. My parents were music teachers, and I wasn't thinking of becoming a professional until really after undergraduate school.
Yeah, it's interesting because over the years, I know that when you talk to musicians and you talk to a trumpet player, you talk to a violinist, a cellist, you always find out that these are people, accomplished people, who don't just play one instrument, that they've got several instruments and proficiency therein in their background, but they've settled on one particular thing. And in your case, it's some instruments you play, Steve, and some you wrangle. Okay, you wrangle the tuba.
Yeah, you know, and you know, quite honest, I did my share of marching band, but playing a sousaphone. Sousaphones are a marching tuba. They wind around you, resting on your shoulder. We're carrying that tuba out in front. I can only hold that there for a couple minutes without collapsing, especially at my age.
When does the tuba and the tuba player get to star? I can't think offhand of many solos that feature the tuba. Are there?
Oh, well, you know, I don't know what you were doing when you were a little kid or what your parents were presenting to you, but Tubby the Tuba was a great record that I had. And, whether it was with Danny Kaye or with other, you know, people narrating it, and I played that a number of times, and it's a cute little story for the young audiences.
You jog my memory, and how silly of me. Of course, I remember Tubby the Tuba is there in my childhood music lore. Absolutely. So, you know, of course, here you go. You look at the tuba, and you look at a piccolo. And somebody says, I'll play the piccolo. Someone else says, no, I'm going for the tuba. I've got the gusto to do it. I think it's wonderful. Steve, the concert coming up on Friday night, which everybody has talked about at length, and I will be there myself, and I'm looking forward to it. The program is tantalizing. Beethoven, Rossini, things like this. Can you tell me a little bit more about some of the selections, or is that under wraps?
No. You know, Kevin's going to kick this off, and he's going to kick it off with a William Tell Overture. And everybody knows the William Tell Overture. It's, you know, if you grew up watching Bugs Bunny, you've heard the William Tell Overture. We are then doing a couple of movements of the Dvorak's New World Symphony. And Dvorak, you know, he named it New World because it was the United States when he came to the New World. And in fact, the second movement is a gorgeous, beautiful movement. Although we're not playing that, we're playing the first and last. But Dvorak heard the African-American, slave songs, which are spirituals, and a lot of the notes out of those spirituals he used in the New World. We're also doing a last movement, I think, from Beethoven's Five. You know, everybody's going to recognize that, and a gorgeous second movement from the Beethoven's Second. And we're also doing a piece by an African-American named George Walker. It's called Lyric for Strings, the first African-American musician to receive the Pulitzer Prize. And then we're going to finish our program with Tchaikovsky Symphony Number 4, and we're going to do the last two movements, and that's where actually I jump in. So the other pieces don't have tuba, which, you know, I've been left out in the dark before.
Well, you know, it's funny. First of all, I think for this particular concert, I think it's great that you're coming out with some of the crowd pleasers and some of the classical themes that are immediately recognizable to people, even those who are not deep into the classical motif. But when I read that you were going to do Rossini, I thought to myself, oh, yeah, they got to do the William Tell Overture. And it's so funny that you reference Bugs Bunny, where others might say the Lone Ranger.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, hey, listen, to this day, it's heard on commercials. You know, everybody's heard it.
It is an exciting piece of music. It really is. All aspects.
And you know, my friends to the right of me in the orchestra, the three trombones, you're going to see these guys whipping through their slides. They're going a mile a minute because they got these runs. And it's on every audition. It's on every audition. They've got to be able to play that, you know, well.
That's wonderful. How long have you been playing the tuba, Steve?
Well, I'm almost 68, and I've been playing since I've been 13. Yeah, you know, it doesn't get any easier either.
Well, Steve, I know this is going to be a wonderful concert. I think it's a delight that with everything that you have going on right now with Mosso, that you're making this a gift to the public. The concert is free. The tickets, if they're not completely sold out, they're on the verge of being sold out, so to speak. So I would encourage people who are hearing this, if you want to squeeze in here, to check with the symphony and see if there's any remaining seats. But in any event, with everything you have going on, I do wish you the best to pull the season out to whatever degree you can, or simply focus on the next go-round and hope that things are a little smoother for everybody bringing great classical music to Springfield.
And you know, the people surrounding Springfield, and once again, we're Springfield Symphony, but we're also the Palmer Symphony, we're the Long Meadow Symphony, we're the Westfield Symphony. You know, we do it all, and we entertain and educate people surrounding, we're the Western Mass Symphony, you know, we're there. And I'd like to also mention that if for some reason those tickets aren't available, we're doing a live stream, and you can find us, that little live stream button on the, our website, which is the SpringfieldSymphonyMusicians.com. And there's a little 7:30 on Friday. You can click that button. You can see us.
I am so glad that you mentioned that. I was aware of it, and I had mentioned it on my program this morning, yesterday morning rather. So I'm very glad we'll have it on today's show as well. People should know if they can't get in to see this, you can stream it. And I think that's wonderful. So, Steve Ferry, and to the maestro and to all of your musicians in Mosso, I wish you the very best and have a wonderful concert. I'm looking forward to being there.
Thank you so much, Brad, and we appreciate your support.
And our thanks to Steve. National Police Weekend runs from October 13th, so it's underway, to the 17th in Washington, D.C. this year. Now, last night, as part of the Police Weekend, and to honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice in the line of duty, survivors of Springfield police officers who have died in the line of duty and supporters of law enforcement waved flags and held signs on the Chestnut Street Bridge from 4 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. to show their gratitude and appreciation for law enforcement officers who protect our families, cities, and towns. Legislation reforming standards for housing egg-laying hens, pigs, and veal calves is heading to a six-member panel on Wednesday after the House and Senate remained at odds over the implementation date for pig-related measures and certain enforcement provisions. The House-appointed reps Carolyn Dykema, Daniel Cahill, and Norman Orall, while the Senate selected Senators Jason Lewis and Becca Rausch. The two bills seek to update a 2016 ballot law that set standards for the amount of space required for the animals. Now, over the past 5 years, standards in the industry have changed, and this bill is to negotiate differences between the two versions. Both versions of the legislation allow producers to keep hens in cages with 1 square foot of floor space if they have unfettered access to vertical aviaries instead of 1.5 square feet. The bills diverge on the implementation of standards for raising pigs, with the House proposing to delay them until 2023. This bill, of course, represents a breakthrough for claustrophobic chickens. Mayor Sarno has directed Executive Director of Parks, Pat Sullivan, and Chief Administrative Financial Officer, T.J. Plant, to move forward on local funding for improvements at Duggan Field. Development of Duggan Park will increase the city's park and open space inventory by some 22 acres. and will be an age-friendly, inclusive community park, offering city residents an accessible perimeter loop trail, accessible fitness course, community garden, two basketball courts, picnic tables, baseball, softball field, a synthetic turf athletic field with regulation track for multiple sports, and outdoor track opportunities, landscaping, and tree planting. Sounds great. Also, Mayor Sarno's longtime administrative assistant, Carolyn Y. Jackson, is retiring after 41 years of dedicated service to the city of Springfield and 13 years in the mayor's office. Now, in addition to working in the mayor's office, Jackson had worked in the Office of Planning and Economic Development, the Building Department's Board of Appeals, Housing Code Enforcement, Assessor's Office, and the Police Department. In addition, Mayor Sarno welcomes Melissa Mitchell to the mayoral staff as the mayor's new administrative assistant. Previously, Mitchell worked with the Springfield Public Schools and was a longtime election specialist for Springfield Elections Office, currently enrolled at Baypath University. Thanks to them for their service, and welcome aboard, Melissa. And thank you for being with our program today. I hope you enjoyed it and got some good information out of it. Make life more interesting for you here in the Pioneer Valley. Our next new program will be up online tomorrow morning, Friday morning, 6 a.m. and available to you on demand throughout the day. I'm Brad Shepherd. We'll talk again.
The proceeding was a presentation of Pioneer Valley Radio. Copyright
2021.
All rights reserved.